morning, everyone. Please be seated. There are a couple of announcements for us today. The first is that this is Vestry Sunday, so all of the doors are locked and you're not allowed to go anywhere. No, but please do join us at 11:30 for a light meal, and then we'll get into the vestry meeting of the church, or as I knew it out west, the annual general meeting. So please stay around for that. It's a wonderful opportunity to gather and to hear about the state of our church. The second is that if you are wanting to get some wonderful 150th anniversary swag from St. James Westminster, we still have a few of the beautifully designed mugs available, and we've had a request to do another run on the shirts, the hoodies, and the sweatshirts. So there will be an opportunity to get a few more of those. So that is wonderful. With that, let us lift our hearts up to God in worship and in prayer. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Let us cause our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Merciful God, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for a proclamation from Holy Scripture.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. So what then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And psalms of gratitude.
With a voice of praise discover
that to worship God is good.
Sing to God with joy and gladness. Hymns and psalms of gratitude. With a voice of praise discover that to worship
far, heals the hurt and
is God's great power and wisdom. None can calculate or tell. Keen is God to ground the wicked, and with humble folk to dwell. Sing to God with joy and gladness, hymns and songs of gratitude. Be the voice of praise discovered, that to worship God is good.
God with clouds the sky has curtained, thus ensuring rain shall fall. Earth responding grows to order, food for creatures great and small.
Sing to God with joy and gladness, hymns and songs of gratitude. Be the voice of praise discovered, that to worship God is good.
God's discernment never favors strength or speed to lift or move. God delights in those who fear him, trusting in his steadfast love.
Sing to God with joy and gladness, hymns and songs of gratitude. Be the voice of praise discovered, that to worship God is good.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
After Jesus and his disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought him to all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, today is Vestry Sunday, and I like to give my vestry address in the place of the sermon. Talking about the future of the parish in the heart of a worship service somehow just feels right to me. Plus, it means that we can get through vestry faster. And I don't think I've met anyone who thinks that that is a bad idea. The struggle that I'm having this year is that I'm still very much in a listening mode here at St. James. I'm still learning the stories and discovering our histories. So my call to action this year will be a bit broader than usual. You know, leading a church is a little bit harder than pointing in a direction and yelling charge. Leading a church is about trying, falling short, asking forgiveness, trying again, and trusting that it is not the destination, but rather it's how we journey together that is essential to a Christian life modeled on Jesus. I find it interesting that today's readings are about the mission and ministry of not only Jesus, but also of Paul. They both proclaimed God's good news in the work of preaching. They preached to people different from themselves, with the goal of motivating them to a deeper life of faith. I won't lie, though, preaching about preaching on a day where we're going to be meeting to talk about the state and future of the church is a little bit like hitting the nail on the head. But hey, who am I to look a gift horse in the mouth? Actually, that might be a great place to start. Just who do I think I am to be standing up here and telling you what the future of St. James Westminster should be? Despite my own personal delusions of grandeur, I know that I am not the Messiah, nor am I apostle, and I've met people in this congregation that are more spiritual than I am. I'm not the biggest donor, I don't have the longest history in the parish, and all of this makes the question of just who does this guy think he is a valid one. In Mark Kingham's sermon last week, he talked about the authority that Christ gives us to act in his name, which is absolutely true. But I also believe that authority, just like trust, is given in relationship with one another. I have been called to be your priest, and I believe that means that my role is to support you and to not inflict my own preferences upon you. I don't seek to get my way, but to work together to discern what God is doing in this place and in your lives. I also want to provide opportunities to test that discernment and to explore those calls. Sometimes this might take the form of encouragement, just as Paul and Jesus encouraged the fledgling community of believers. And sometimes it involves pointing out and addressing issues that we would rather avoid. For example, in today's gospel reading, we read about the fact that Simon's mother-in-law immediately begins to serve the disciples after she was healed. This might be something we want to avoid. The more cynical among us might ask, did she get healed just because Jesus wanted a sandwich? Proof that the patriarchy is alive and well. What might not be so popular a point is to point out that serving God is the highest honor that we can obtain. And what better way to serve than to use our literal God-given gifts to give back? I bet that Simon's mother-in-law made a darn fine meal using all of her cooking skills. Participation in God's kingdom comes from acts of service. And as a church, we should be constantly asking, where are we called to serve? How are we called to serve? And who are we called to serve? For St. James, there are two areas that we clearly feel compelled to work in. The first, which is going well, is music. We have a fabulous choir, an incredible music director, and an absurdly talented congregation. St. James supports the musical community by providing space for concerts and rehearsals and creating unique and life-giving relationships with the musicians of the city. I look forward to seeing this ministry continue and to grow. The second is our desire to care for children. And to be honest, our children's ministry is an area that we need to build up. The faithfulness of Jerry and Laura, as well as Mary Decay this year, are inspiring. But there is no doubt that we need to make this a priority in our parish life. We've got a gaggle of little ones under 3 here. And there is a need for nursery care on Sundays and support for new parents. This is a perfect time to launch a stroller walking group or a Mom and Me movie in the afternoon in the hall or countless other good ideas that you have and I don't. This year, building up our children's and family ministry will be a priority for me. And if there is a small voice inside that excites you about being a part of it, please listen and volunteer to start something new or support an existing program. Let God work through you. But don't think that all we have to do is improve our big and flashy and attention-grabbing public ministries of the church. There is a rhythm in Jesus' ministry in the Gospels. He goes somewhere, engages with the crowd by teaching or healing, and then he retreats to a private place, alone with his closest friends. It flows one to the other and back. If we take seriously the call to follow Christ, it is a rhythm that we should learn to adopt. But we can get stuck. Our individual spirituality can become so private that we fear to discuss it, even with those closest to us. Or we can get so drained by a public ministry for reasons like there's no one else who will do it, or it needs to be done the right way, that we risk burning out. The church must be a place where both the private and the public forms of faith are nurtured and the transition between them are encouraged. I'm thrilled that I've been able to see a wonderful example of this at St. James Westminster. Making meals for Project Hope embodies this perfectly. The good work of preparing 60 hot meals is an incredible and public effort to help those in need. And the break while things are cooking is the perfect opportunity for the volunteers to connect and build friendships in small groups of supportive people. But there is so much more that we could be doing to support both the public and personal sides of faith. And with your help, we will look for ways to engage and enhance both in our parish in the year ahead. In our first lesson today, Paul talks about becoming all things to all people. This is a reading that is truly challenging if we take it seriously, and it can cause some anxiety. It is really hard to be all things. In fact, it's impossible. There are some things that I just can't be, and I'm not even willing to try. I'm not willing to be a mobster, and I'm definitely not willing to be an accountant. Everyone would be frustrated if I tried. Just like there are some things that you are not willing to do or to be. And that's totally acceptable. But Paul is very clear. He's free in everything except to give up the gospel. What he's trying to communicate is that he is compelled to form connections with and relationships to the citizens and the outlaws, the Greeks and the Jews, the weak and the strong. This might not be a popular way of putting it, but I think if Paul was writing today, he'd probably say something like, to those who are still nervous about the pandemic, I wore my mask around them. To the LGBTQ+2IA community, I've become an ally who affirms their human dignity and relationship. To the homeless, I walk in their world. But equally, he would write to those who were anti-vaxxers, I hear your concerns. To the advocates of traditional marriage, there is value in tradition. And to the rich, I've learned to appreciate the finer things. Because at the heart of the gospel is the simple truth that everyone is precious and absolutely beyond value in God's eyes. Even, maybe even especially, the people we don't like or agree with. And the huge things that divide us really are not that big of a concern to God. God's concern is that all of us live into the fullness of our lives. We are called to be better than we are. We all have room to grow. We all have holiness to work on, compassion to develop, and connections to build. And the relationships that challenge us the most are also the places where growth can really happen. For St. James, as for every parish, this is an incredible challenge. It's easy to plant our flag on current issues, to take sides on the latest hot-button issue, especially if the side being taken is the prevailing popular one. But my call to this church is to model ourselves on Jesus, to take up our crosses and let ourselves be transformed by the Creator who is not yet finished creating us, that we be a place where literally all are welcome, a place where we can ask hard questions, make mistakes, and extend grace to each others in ways that challenge not only ourselves, but also the prevailing narrative of this world. The world is not full of idiots and monsters. It's full of the beloved children of God. And I don't think that a church in which everyone thinks the same way or acts the same way is actually a healthy church. A healthy church is one where love and grace are extended often and freely, where relationship is valued more than being right, and where being challenged is seen as constructive rather than as criticism to tear down, and where the face of God is recognized in everyone who walks through these doors. To be honest, this is almost an impossible task, and the only way it is possible is through God's help, being reminded again and again and again and again that the love of God extends to all. Do you want proof that this is in the scriptures? Christ's disciples didn't always agree or even get along. In the Bible study that Peggy Roffey is leading, we just read Acts chapter 15, and in it we heard about the conflicts in the early church and how Peter didn't want Mark to accompany him on a journey because he didn't trust him. We can't be afraid of disagreeing with each other or challenging each other. What we should be afraid of is fracturing friendships and ruining relationships. The beautiful thing about this is that really, we are the only thing standing in our own way. Within this congregation, I have no doubt that we have everything we need to address the challenges ahead of us. We have amazing financial minds to help us with our budgets and our investments. We have warm and welcoming people to welcome visitors and make them feel at home. We have skilled carpenters and craftspeople to help care for this grand but admittedly older facility. And we all have friends and families we can invite to grow this congregation. But if this church is to find its former glory, well, that's not up to me. It's not even up to God. Ultimately, it's up to you. Will you let God lead you to start a new ministry? Will you support something good here, even if it's run by your not the most favorite person in the congregation? Will you give of your time and your talent and your treasure to see God's presence flow from this place in ways that delight and surprise? I hope that we can answer these questions in the same way that we answered the question of our baptismal covenants. I will, with God's help. Amen. I'd invite the congregation to stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. I'd invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer.
God of wisdom, you proceeded forth at creation, bringing life to birth. Breathe that same potency into your church. As children of your grace, bring us to rejoice in you. Sing and give thanks to the Lord.
For all his wonderful works.
God of wisdom, You delight in humanity. Equip us to share that generous blessing in justice and peace. Inspire us with your wisdom, all who lead and govern. Sing and give thanks to the Lord
for all his wonderful works.
God of wisdom, you have set the world in a universe of order and intricate balance. Guide all engaged in the advancement of science and the ensuing ethical debates. It is through you and for you that we have our being. Sing and give thanks to the Lord
for all his wonderful works.
God of wisdom, your fullness chose to dwell among us. Give strength to all who are weak and whose faculties are failing. We think especially of Anna Woodson, Sylvia Brightwell, Marlene Fagan, Sean, Eunice Smith, Liz Bailey, Gavin, Frida, Joan, and Ashley. May we sing your praises all our days. Sing and give thanks to the Lord
for all his wonderful works.
God of wisdom, in the cross you reconciled your creation to you. Bring into your peace all who have died. We think especially today of Margaret Bullock, sister of Dawn Letton. May we come to behold the fullness of your glory. Sing and give praise to the Lord
for all his wonderful works.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repentant. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may be delighted to go home and walk away with you.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace with one another.
Thank you.
God of compassion and forgiveness, receive our offering this day and make us one with him who is our peace, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, for the gift of a world full of wonder, and for our life which comes from you. By your power you sustain the universe. You created us to love you with all our heart and to love each other as ourselves. But we rebel against you by the evil that we do. In Jesus, your Son, you bring healing to the world and gather us into one great family. Therefore, with all who serve you on earth and in heaven, we praise your wonderful name as we sing. Give you thanks and praise, loving Father, because in sending Jesus, your Son, to us, you show us how much you love us. He cares for the poor and the hungry. He suffers with the sick and the rejected. Betrayed and forsaken, he did not strike back, but overcame hatred with love. On the cross he defeated the power of sin and death by raising him from the dead. You show us the power of your love to bring new life to all your people. On the night before he gave up his life for us, Jesus at supper with his friends took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it and gave it to them saying, "Take and eat this, all of you. This is my body which is given for you." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, said the blessing, and gave it to his friends and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which is shed for you and for many so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me."
Thank you.
Gracious God, with this bread and wine, we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus, and we offer ourselves to you in him. Send your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, that we may know the presence of Jesus in the breaking of the bread, and share in the life of the family of your children. Father, you call us to be your servants. Fill us with the courage and love of Jesus, that all the world may gather in joy at the table of your kingdom. We sing your praise, Almighty Father, through Jesus our Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. And now, as our Savior has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
We indeed are one body, for we all share in one bread.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, in you we find peace beyond all telling. May we who have shared this heavenly banquet be instruments of your peace on earth. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Our service of worship comes to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks.